From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 90, cutting cords and fiber optic cables.
Episode 90, wow. The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Stay focused, Tom.
Stay focused. If you like Deemable, you should get involved.
Yeah.
Help us decide what news stories we talk about on the podcast. Visit our Reddit page. Just go to deemable.com/reddit. There you can vote stories up or down or submit stories of your own.
Yeah. And help support Deemable Tech. Go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a review like SMaster727 did. Informative with a side of goofballs.
Hmm.
I always look forward to the show. Good content delivered by pretty funny guys.
Oh,
appreciate that.
There's a qualifier
just,
there.
Yeah, just kind of funny. The more reviews we have, the more people will find Deemable Tech. So go stop what you're doing. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Leave a review. We'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about some news.
A Wall Street research firm estimates that Netflix will have more viewers than ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox within a year.
Shut the front door.
Or at least it would if Netflix were a 24-hour broadcast television network and not a streaming video service.
Hmm.
The way the networks and Netflix measure viewership are different, and they also serve up different kinds of programming. For instance, the networks carry live sports events and Netflix does not.
Mm.
So apples to oranges a little bit. Even so, a rough crunch of the numbers shows that Netflix is expanding very rapidly, even as the TV network's audiences are shrinking, which means that by next year, Netflix will probably have more eyeballs than any of the big four.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
They are a-changing.
Has there ever been live content on Netflix?
I do not believe so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know Hulu has done some something live, I believe. And I think Amazon has, but I don't know about any Netflix live stuff.
I don't have it in front of me, and I could be wrong in this, but I believe one of the number one growth areas for Netflix in terms of streaming, and you might be able to guess this, Ray, is...
I don't know.
Kids shows.
Kids shows. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. so much Netflix on My Little Ponies and all these other shows.
Yeah, from what I can see, they have never done a live event on there.
That'd be interesting to see how that turns out,
if
they ever try doing live stuff. I'm sure that's, like, the next frontier that they're going to tackle.
Sure. Yeah.
They have so much, like, it seems like every week now, though, I go on there and there's a new original series. Like, it used to be, like, a Netflix original series was a big deal. Now
it's like made news.
Yeah, yeah, now it's like, here's one. Here's one.
I think they partner with a lot of... people or production companies like overseas, like a lot of those shows that say they're Netflix originals, they're like from Britain and they've aired in Britain, but bringing them here and they're going to be on Netflix. I think that's the case.
Hmm. Are you guys watching any original series on Netflix right now?
No, I just got done watching Doctor Who, the most recent season, by lying and saying that I was in Canada.
Whoa.
It's a wonderful thing.
Today, as we're recording, is Canada Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have some maple syrup and think of them. Sorry, Canadians.
And think about them.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible.
My brother-in-law is Canadian. I get to make fun of them all I want.
No, I was making fun of myself for how bad my Canadian accent was.
That's spot on. Yeah. It's authentic.
But yeah, there's a plugin for Chrome called Ola that will let you be in another country. And it's nice because it's not a VPN.
Uh-huh.
So it's not actually sending your traffic all the way to Canada and back.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes
it's just a filthy liar.
It's just a filthy liar, yeah. And I am a Doctor Who fan, and I didn't feel like waiting. I was jealous of our Canadian neighbors, and I said, well, I'll just pretend that I'm in Canada and watch Doctor Who. It's probably against the law or something, so I just admitted to a crime or something, I'm sure, but bad. Oh. Anyways,
You're going to streaming video jail.
New shows. No, not any new content. I did watch, what's that new show? Ascension. from Sci-Fi Channel.
I keep seeing ads for that. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I like it so far.
I haven't seen it.
I guess we probably shouldn't get too deep in the weeds on reviewing Netflix shows, but I was interested.
Anything from you?
No, I'm actually in the middle of watching Seinfeld right now on Hulu.
Excellent.
I did start to watch Daredevil, the Netflix original show.
I'm going through that. Every episode gets better. Mm-hmm. First ones, I was like, this is all right. Well, I'm on 5 or 6 now, and it's like, this is good.
Yeah. So good. So good. Excellent show.
I just have to be in the mood to watch that. That's a pretty, like,
it's
dark.
It's violent, yeah.
Yeah, it's violent.
The last time I was sick, I just laid in bed and watched them and just got depressed. Because, I mean, it's such a great show, but it is really depressing how the story unfolds. And it's like, oh, God, why?
If it's really not confusing and R-rated enough for you, I'm watching Sense8 right now. It's new, and it is an actual, I believe, original series by the Wachowskis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. That's out already?
Yeah, it's out. Okay. It's kind of cray-cray.
Well, before we have to change the topic of our show to the deemable Netflix podcast, what's our next story, Sean?
Well,
that's called a segue.
Yes. Moving from something that is depressing to something that is depressing.
Oh, nice.
Google Photos found itself scrambling to do damage control when a black developer found that the service had tagged pictures of him with his black female friend with the tag gorillas. After the developer posted a screenshot of the issue on Twitter, Google's chief social architect reached out to him within an hour and a half, saying this is 100% not okay. Google says that the gorilla tag has since been removed from the tag database.
You're like, just take it off altogether.
Just remove it. Get it out.
And that they are tweaking its algorithms, specifically in regards to dark-skinned faces. Google says that this is not the first time that the automatic image tagging has had issues, and that an early bug labeled all humans of all races as dogs.
Oh,
no matter what race you were a dog.
Well, that's a little bit better. At least the algorithm's not racist. Yeah. It's just stupid.
Why was gorillas even in there? And how many people are taking pictures of gorillas? Like, when is that coming up?
Yeah.
You know,
that
you
was
go
asking
to the
for
zoo,
trouble.
You take pictures of gorillas.
I was asking for trouble. But as an automatic tag.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's just terrible. It's horrible.
Facial recognition. That entire field is a minefield. I would not want to have anything to do with it in social media. It's a loaded gun.
Well, in some slightly more good news, actually, no, a lot better. It's a lot better news. Facebook has built, well, you know, let me back up. Mm-hmm. Facebook, you guys know, has built a video empire off of letting people rip videos off of YouTube and posting them on their site.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a video on Facebook that I know the person who posted it did not own it. Mm-hmm. Some people have kind of made a career out of this. But to make things worse, Facebook has reduced the size of YouTube video previews. So basically, a video creator had to choose between posting the video on Facebook natively, mm-hmm. where lots of people would see it, but they wouldn't get any revenue.
Yeah.
Or they could post the video on YouTube and share it on Facebook, and then a few people would see it. All in all, it sucked for video creators because they were just getting scammed out of money by Facebook. Mm-hmm. Well, Facebook is finally letting creators earn a little bit of money. Now, when you're watching a suggested video, mm-hmm. you know, perhaps after you just watched a funny cat video that your friend posted, you'll see a short ad before Facebook automatically goes to the next video. Now, Facebook will keep 45% of the revenue and give the rest to the partner, whoever posted the video, which is right on par with what YouTube does in their revenue sharing terms. Okay. Hmm. Dan Rose, Facebook's VP of Partnerships, told Variety, "We've heard consistently from media companies and other video creators that if they were able to make money from their videos, they would publish more."
Oh, you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's tons of people who are YouTubers or post on Vimeo or whatever that would love to do it on Facebook, but you basically have to give it to Facebook for free. Mm-hmm. But the question is now, how is Facebook going to get rid of all of the pirated content on its website?
Yeah. Because
there's just so much of it. I mean, every video I see on Facebook has been pirated from somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good question. And I mean, gosh, as they become like a video platform, that opens up a whole can of worms. I mean, YouTube's been fighting lawsuits with big media companies for years.
Sure.
And then they've, you know, gone through all these legal actions with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and there's all this nonsense. Like, that's a big can of worms. But I guess if anyone's going to open it, Facebook will.
Yeah, exactly. I know that they're going to have to come up with some sort of algorithm like YouTube did that will just automatically take down stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I was surprised that somebody didn't come after them anyway, because even though they weren't receiving direct revenue from that, it's more time on the website, which turns into revenue.
Yeah.
So how were they not getting in trouble for that?
Now,
I guess everybody was kind of just sitting back going, well, let's see what happens here.
I will say that I once tried to post a video that was not something of mine.
Oh, okay.
It was not on YouTube, but I was able to find a video from somewhere else. It was actually a clip from Bob's Burgers, the FOTS show, and uploaded it to Facebook. It sat there for maybe 10 minutes, and then it was removed, and it said that it was because it was copyrighted.
Oh, really?
Material.
Interesting.
Yes.
How long ago was that?
This was probably last year.
Okay. Wow.
Haven't tried to do anything since then.
That's good, because the NSA is watching you, Sean.
That's true.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, because that's a bigger company who's got the resources to put out takedown notices. But, I mean, I remember a while back, I posted something that was, posted a video, and I had seen other stations do it, so I did it too, and it was those Singamajigs.
Oh, and yes, yeah.
And yeah, so, I mean, that was somebody created that, and they didn't get any money for it. You know, they don't get the credit for those when those videos play. They don't get any ad revenue from it, so it kind of stinks.
Well, our next story is a blast from the past. Game developer VBlank has announced that it will release a new version of its 8-bit style game, Retro City Rampage, for MS-DOS.
Huh?
Yeah. The operating system, MS-DOS. You remember MS-DOS.
Yeah.
The game will be called Retro City Rampage 486, and the system requirements include 3.7 megabytes of hard drive space, 4 megabytes of RAM, and, yes, an Intel 486 CPU. Oh, and a copy of MS-DOS, obviously, which is, you know, the one with the blinking text prompt that you had to use before Windows 95.
Right.
So you guys obviously have a copy sitting around on 6 floppies somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I probably do, but what?
Ray does, yeah. This is actually not VBlank's first port of Rampage to a very retro platform. They recently finished a port designed to run the game on the original Nintendo.
Wow. Yeah.
So, in case you're keeping track, a classic Nintendo console barely squeezes out 300K of memory. Wow. So, that's kind of an impressive feat.
Yeah.
If you are eager to run this game, but you don't have a working computer from 1992 sitting around your house for some reason, there's an emulator called DOSBox.
There you go.
Not too hard to get one.
That helps.
That would make it a lot easier.
I don't know when the last MS-DOS game to come out was, but I'm guessing it's been a while. So good on you, MS-DOS.
I don't think I have 3.7 megabytes of hard drive space. That's quite a lot.
Really? Yeah. You might need to move some stuff to the cloud there, Sean.
Oh my gosh, there is a DOS box for Mac OS X.
Oh.
Sure. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Running DOS on a Mac.
That's weird. Nice.
All right. Let's move on to something else while Ray downloads DOS box and starts playing Rampage. You may have heard that the world's official timekeepers added a leap second to the world's official clocks this week.
Does anyone imagine like a little digital grasshopper when somebody says leap second?
I was going to say, I imagine the timekeepers like living in a gothic style mansion castle somewhere.
That's a given.
My thought went straight to Blue Box, Time Lords. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yep.
So they do this every so often to keep the clocks in sync with the spinning of the Earth. Apparently, the atomic clocks that we use don't account for small changes in the Earth's behavior. So every once in a while, they have to go in and add these leap seconds. They've added about 25 since 1973.
Whoa.
So every few years, they do this. And you might think that 1 second wouldn't make much of a difference, but it totally does when computers are involved. Most, if not all, machines rely on software code that isn't prepared to deal with this extra second. In fact, the last time a leap second was added in 2012, sites like Reddit went down, and flights in Australia were grounded because machines at Qantas Airways went dark.
Whoops. Nice.
Yeah, not good. Companies were a little more prepared this time around, but according to analysis from a firm called Din Research, the leap second still caused sporadic internet outages, including a hiccup that lasted about 5 minutes. And apparently it was caused by a particular router. There was a lag as internet service providers and other companies worked to reroute this data through other paths. So I think it was Tuesday when they did this leap second.
Because it was the end of the month. June.
You may have noticed a little bit of a lag on your internet. And this is why. At one tiny second.
Wow.
It just... It's surprising that they're so in sync. I didn't think that they would be that close. I guess because when we think about, like, our computers aren't perfectly in sync, but routing equipment kind of does.
Yeah, apparently.
All right. Well, over the weekend, there was a little bit of a disaster in the science world. NASA's partnership with privately owned company SpaceX suffered a setback when an unmanned rocket on a mission to resupply the International Space Station exploded approximately 2.5 minutes after launch.
Yeah.
In a tweet, SpaceX founder Elon Musk said that there had been an overpressure event in the upper stage liquid oxygen tank. At this time, that's basically all we know. Up until Saturday's explosion, the Falcon 9 rockets used by SpaceX have always been perfectly reliable. This is, however, the third ISS resupply mission in a row to fail. The ISS crew is currently reported to have enough supplies to last through September.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yeah, and I want to, again, emphasize, this rocket was totally unmanned. Nobody was armed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, being here in Jacksonville, we're a few hours, or I guess only a couple hours away from the Space Coast.
Yeah, about 3 hours.
So we can often see these launches, even if we don't hear them or anything, but yeah, it stinks to hear that. Because they've had such a good track record. They're doing some crazy stuff, like trying to get them to land vertically off of the coast of Jacksonville. And like this would have been the third attempt to do that if this hadn't blown up in on its way to space.
Yeah, they're supposed to do another launch in August, and I think try what you're talking about. But at this point, I don't know if that schedule will hold or what they're going to do.
Bottom line is, space is hard.
Space is hard. I think this is tricky, though. You know, SpaceX has had this reputation of they were not going to have the problems NASA had. They were going to be reliable. They were going to do space tourism. And so it's a little disconcerting when one of their rockets blows up.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, it is exploding things, pushing things into space.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%.
Until we change the vehicle or the method, it's always going to be dangerous. It's always going to be really hard to do.
Yeah, it's true.
And speaking of technology that probably needs to be improved, have you guys thought about cables a lot lately? They're kind of running under the ground and stuff like that. No?
Sounds like a weird phobia.
It is, yeah. Well, the Wall Street Journal reported that early Tuesday morning, unknown persons severed fiber optic cables carrying internet traffic across Northern California, apparently intentionally. This was the most recent of several such attacks on internet infrastructure in California in the last year. Internet disruptions and slowdowns were reported between Sacramento and Seattle. The FBI says that someone broke into an underground vault to attack the cables. They are asking for the public's assistance in finding the culprits.
Okay, so these cables weren't just sitting around somewhere.
No, they had to go in to
an underground vault.
Underground vault. Presumably that only people that know it's there?
I mean, I think you can narrow down your list of culprits to people who know it's there. Now, I mean, a lot of fiber optic cables, though, it tells you, like, right on the ground, there's flags that say, you know, fiber optic cables buried here, you know, look out, so that you don't accidentally, you know, dig into them and cut them. But,
I mean, is this the new eco-terrorism, you know what I'm saying? Like, Californians are a little bit crazy. Maybe they're like, technology, let's go back to the dark ages.
Who was that jerk?
Cut some cables.
I think that when you cut fiber optic cables, you are in danger of getting beaten up. Because a lot of nerds are going to be very angry at
you. My Netflix! What have you done? I can't stream the last episode of Daredevil!
Now, my understanding, though, is that these cables did primarily service businesses.
Mm.
Oh. It wasn't a residential line.
Netflix is a business. Like, who knows what this is powering?
And that doesn't mean that people at their jobs weren't watching Netflix.
That's also true. Also true.
I thought you were going to go with the angle of, you know, that this interrupted their work and it cut down production. No, they were trying to watch Netflix
yep,
at work.
Probably.
Or at least YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. That's true. Well, speaking of fiber optic cables, on a slightly happier note, I get the happy stories today. Reddit user FrackenBeast posted a story from Gizmodo that engineers were able to make fiber optic cables carry more data even further than ever before.
Oh, yeah. Tell us how they did that.
Well, the electrical engineers at UC San Diego got a transmission to travel 7,400 miles. And I tried to read the rest, and I really didn't understand what they were talking about.
Oh, okay.
It got into physics, and there's a report filed at science.com that is linked in the Gizmodo article, and I don't understand it. So go check that out. It sounded cool, though. It's longer and faster, and that's good, right?
Fiberier,
more fiber than
more
ever
fiber.
Before.
And they say fiber is important.
That's true.
It's a very important part of your diet.
Wouldn't it be great if they actually like somehow developed time travel and we just did not understand the article whatsoever?
That would be bearing the lead a little bit. Yeah.
The parts that I was able to get out of it, I was like, that's cool. And then the rest, I was like, I need a physicist to explain this to me. I don't understand why this is cool.
Our friend Brian Lane is listening, he is a physicist.
That's true.
Send us an email. Tell us what it means.
And no offense to you, Brian, if you are listening, I don't think it'll help because he'll explain it and I still won't understand.
Yeah.
He has explained a lot of things to me and I just like, yep, I got nothing. I have no idea what I knew. I know the individual words you just said, but I don't know what they mean together in that order.
There are physics involved.
Yep.
That's what I got at.
Light and speed of light. That's what I got. All right. Well, folks, it was a pretty slow news week.
Yes.
There is one thing that I need to share with you. Divide zero by zero.
Imagine that you have zero cookies and you split them evenly among zero friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
Dang, Siri.
Siri's keeping it real.
Siri just schooled you on math.
I want to try another one. Divide two by zero.
Let me have a look.
Oh,
it doesn't work anymore.
Divide one by zero.
The same as two divided by zero, undefined.
Oh, okay.
She remembered that you asked.
Maybe.
She's getting a little snippy.
She does get a little snippy sometimes.
Siri's a busy woman.
Yeah.
Or Australian person in Sean's case.
Yes.
That's right. You have an Australian. Working in public media, it was nice to hear the Cookie Monster reference. But then she had to go and be insulting. That was rude.
That was kind of rude.
Yep. All right, folks. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. So don't forget, if you have already forgotten and you didn't do it already, go to iTunes and leave a review. Five stars. We like 5 stars. We like 4 stars. We even like 3, 2, and 1. I don't care. Just go and leave a review. Or go to Stitcher and leave a review there if you listen to us on Stitcher. Either way, the more reviews we have, the more people will find Demobile Tech and the more people will listen to our show. That's what this is all about, getting the news out there. So go do that. And if you have a suggestion or you want to leave a comment for the show, give us a call at 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email to feedback@demobile.com.
And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story and vote other stories up or down. It's super easy, and you actually don't even need an email address to sign up for Reddit. It'll take you 2 minutes. Demobile.com/Reddit will take you there.
And you don't even have to tell us your real name.
Nope.
No.
We don't know most of our Redditors' real names.
I don't even know my real name.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Don't stop.
What's that song?
Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Don't stop, don't stop.
Hey, Ray.
Don't stop.
Whenever you come back from the magical place that you are in.
Not a question.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.